Welcome to the Flip Empire Show, bringing you the interviews, strategies, and insights for smart real estate investors. Prepare to dive into the minds of real estate's heavy hitters and gain the cutting-edge expertise you need to scale and grow your real estate empire. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Before we dive into today's masterclass expert interview, I want to let you know that this show is sponsored by Ascend, our in-house assembly of success-minded people, business owners, and entrepreneurs actively collaborating together to ascend our businesses to new heights while also experiencing truly happier, more fulfilling lives at the same time. We believe it's not an either-or, but you can truly have both and. It's the unique and rare combination of mastermind coaching and community that makes Ascend so special. But it's definitely not for everyone. If you're an entrepreneur who's looking for more than your typical mastermind or coaching, and you think these things can help you accelerate your ascension from where you are today to where you want to go, while living a more meaningful and rewarding life in the process, then you can head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, click the application button, and we'll go from there. What is going on, my friends? Excited to have you guys back on another Flip Empire Masterclass. My friends, this one's going to be very, very different than any podcast episode I've published. And this is going to be, I want to say this is episode, we're in the 400s at this point. So we've recorded a lot of podcast episodes. And I'm always excited about having, you know, experts and friends interviewing them. And this one has a different feel. I have a really good friend of mine, Hannah, who lives in Antigua, Guatemala, and we're going to be talking about giving, and we're going to be talking about service, and we're going to be talking, there's an opportunity for you to get involved that I think can have a really, really big impact on your life, can have an impact on your business, but most importantly, it can have an impact on you and your family. And so I want to kind of set the groundwork, and before I introduce you to Hannah, and so we can talk about We Are Graces, which is an amazing nonprofit that God kind of put in my path a couple of years ago. It's something I had been praying about, and I'll kind of share with you how I got involved with We Are Graces and Escuela Integrada and how Hannah's involved in that. But, you know, I've always been, I was sharing with Hannah before we hit the record here, I've always been that guy that I've always wanted to give and serve, but for me, stroking a check was fine, you know? And I thought that was good enough. And I kind of felt God calling me like, hey, Alex, you're meant to do more. There's so much more you can give. And part of that is me hosting this podcast. You know, I come on here, we don't sell anything. It's just 100% content. But I always wanted to connect with people. And about a year and a half or so, 2 years ago, a friend of mine, Steve Cavanaugh, who I run Ascend with, you guys probably know at this point, he hosts something called Master Mission, which essentially we would go to Guatemala and we would spend half the day masterminding and then half the day doing missions work. And my coach, Steve Cook, who Hannah knows very well, always encouraged me like, hey, go out and do some mission work. It does something to you. It gives you new perspective. It gives you new insight. And so through the Life Inner organization, I got introduced to Guatemala and We Are Graces. And that's how I met Hannah a couple years ago. And I went, and I can easily say it changed my life. It gave me so much perspective. So I just want to kind of set the groundwork, and there's so much more that we're going to get into, but I want to bring my good friend Hannah on here. So it is awesome having you on the podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
No, thank you. You have made such big sacrifices, you know, and I want to kind of get into your story. And it's not every day that at least I meet people that have just uprooted their quote unquote normal lives to go move to another country in, you know, to serve and yeah. to give back. Most people that I know, the ones that give are happy just writing a check. And don't get me wrong, there's a place for that. That's very valuable and that's needed. But I truly believe that when you can actually, when you give yourself to these people and you're actually out there on the mission field and you're working, it changes your heart. It does something different to you. You took it to a completely different level. You actually moved to Antigua, Guatemala, and now that's your life, you know, which is amazing. So why don't we kind of let's take a few steps back. Tell everybody about yourself, you know, who you are, where you're from, and then let's start to kind of get into how were you even like, how did you moving to Guatemala even factor into the equation? And then we'll kind of get into the conversation from there.
Yeah. So I first got involved in Guatemala when I was in high school. So about almost 14 years ago now, I went with my church on a summer missions trip. And for me, it was the first time I had ever been out of the country before. And, you know, it was such an eye-opening experience. I think as a teenager, you kind of just, at least for me, I went on this missions trip, you know, for an adventure because it was fun and my friends were doing it. But I mean, it was such a pivotal moment in my life. And after that trip, I decided to go back again the next summer. And so I did that a few times throughout high school. And then in college, I really was not interested at all in, you know, like the typical college experience. The only thing I could ever think about was going back to Guatemala. Wow. It was just such, yeah, it was such this like huge desire that God had placed on my heart. And so I did an internship for about a year. You know, I was kind of like back and forth. I went to college and then I did an internship for a year in Guatemala. And all the while working with Escuela Integrada. And so really from the get-go is when I had that exposure to real poverty, to these kids, to their families, to their lives. And I was just so in awe of just everything that God was doing in Guatemala, the potential that there was, but then also at the same time, the lack of opportunity. And so that is where I really felt like I wanted to help, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I did that. And then in 2014 is when I, no, I'm sorry, 2011, that's when I decided to move. Incredible. And
how old were you, if you don't mind me asking, how old were you at the time?
Yeah, I was just, I was 21, just about to turn 22.
Wow. That's incredible. Because most 21, 22 year olds aren't thinking about moving from the States to like, you know, Guatemala to serve. I mean, that's incredible. But go ahead with your story.
Well, and I mean, I was like in, and I had only about $500 a month coming in. You know, I had to raise money in order to go and live there. And, you know, my church and the agency I was working with, like everyone, you know, like they recommended you have to go with like this certain amount, you know, to be able to live. And I was just, you know, I'm 21. I'm like, I don't care. I'm going to go. Who cares? Like, I can live off of $500 a month.
Free spirit.
Yeah. And so I did that. And I started working at Escuela Integrada teaching English. And so that was my very first job at the school. And so during that time, you know, I'm a young adult. I'm kind of like just learning about life in general, as you mm-hmm. do in your early 20s. At the same time, you know, being in another country, in another culture. And so it was really a lot. I mean, a lot of ups and downs for sure. A lot of changes in the organization. And then about three or four years after that is when Graces formed. And Graces formed as a way to support Escuela Integrada because, mm-hmm. as I said, there's just transition and a lot of things going on in the organization. And so I started to work directly with Graces as the project coordinator. So I decided that I didn't really like teaching English and I also wasn't very good at it either. And so I saw kind of this opportunity for a sponsorship program. We kind of had a small one to begin with, but I was like, you know, this is really where, you know, we can start to like grow and get more connections with other people. And so I helped start that and then also work with our mission and our vision teams and kind of grew in that throughout, you know, the next 5 or 6 years. And so, as I said, just a lot of shifting, transition, you know, pretty much growing up, you know, in a sense, growing up in Guatemala and mm-hmm. having spent, you know, my whole adult life here, really. And there was during that transition, that I was talking about, you know, it was kind of, it was hard. It was a very like hard point in my life, a very, I guess dark point. And so a lot of people like had encouraged me. They're like, you should probably come back home. You know, mm-hmm. there's a lot of, I guess, an unhealthy, you know, atmosphere. And they were like, you should come home. And
you mean, let me pause for a second. In Guatemala, yeah. When at that time there was an unhealthy atmosphere, you said?
Right. Correct. So, not with like the people, like the Guatemalan people, but with the previous, organization that had funded the school. And, and so I was definitely like encouraged to come back home. And at that point, that's when, people, for example, like Steve Cook, they had been with the organization previously. He decided, you know, like he heard kind of like what was going on, and he decided to actually like come down and see for himself. And so, you know, thankfully for people like him and those supporters that were just really like invested in the school, that's how Graces was able to form. And that's how we were able to continue to, fund, the school, because there was a point where they thought that maybe it would close just because of transition, lack of funding. So it was a crazy time, but I was like, you know, I don't think I'm supposed to go back. I think I'm supposed to stay here. I think I'm supposed to, you know, fight through it. So that's what I did. Yeah, that's what I did. And so, now since September, I have had the extreme honor of being the executive director now.
Congratulations. That is incredible. What a story. Like that's just unreal. Like, thank God for people like you that just act on faith. And mm-hmm. I think there's a lot to be taken. You know, you're listening to this, you're an entrepreneur, you know, you're a real estate investor, and you know, whether you're spiritual or not, or you believe in God, you know, it could be the universe for you, whatever the case is, sometimes you feel a call to do something. And I want to kind of get inside your mindset a little bit, as far as, because at being 20, 21 years old, were you scared when you finally made the decision to move, or were you like, I'm young, like, screw it, let's just go and see what happens? Like, what was your mindset?
It was a little bit of both. I think, younger, you just naturally have this, mentality of maybe not like recklessness, but like, okay, like, you know, it's just me. And so there was that for me, but it was definitely an intentional choice that I had to make of like, okay, I'm, you know, leaving my family. I'm going maybe to work in an area that's not completely safe. And there's a lot of uncertainties around it.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that's the perfect word, because obviously, you know, we'll talk about the coronavirus and how that's affected you guys in Guatemala, I'm sure a little bit later on in the show. But I think people need to learn how to deal with uncertainty. And I think when you feel compelled to act and do something, that's God telling you, that's the universe for some people. More times than not, I think you should listen to your gut intuition, no matter how big a leap of faith that is. And so you've impacted, I don't know, hundreds of lives, maybe thousands of lives because of that one decision. And I realize you're super humble and you're not going to like just be like, yeah, you know, but I'm telling you, from the outside looking in and having been to Guatemala twice now, having visited the school and met with these families, met with these kids, like, you've changed generations with that one decision. And anyways, I just want to recognize you for that, because that's huge. I don't know very many people that are willing to just kind of uproot their lives to start a life in another country, all to serve, you know? So God bless you. That's amazing.
Thank you.
I want to kind of, let me kind of take the baton now. So when I went to, I want people to understand why Guatemala is so special, and the heart that those people have. So when I first went to Guatemala, when was it? January 2019, I think, was the first Master Mission trip. Is that right, Hannah? Beginning of February, maybe?
January, February, yeah.
Okay, so it's been a little bit over a year since we've known each other. I thought it was a couple of years, but no, it's February 2019. And when I went, I didn't know what to expect. I was just kind of going with an open mind. And the poverty, I've seen poverty like that before, but when I got the chance to go out into the mission field, as they would say, I want to try to paint a picture, and I think you could do a much better job than I can. You live there, right? And so you experience it probably on a daily or weekly basis. I've been a couple of times and spent a week there. You know, people live, let me kick it over to you. Describe the living environment that a lot of these families that have kids that send their kids to Escuela Integrada. Can you kind of try to paint a picture for people listening, the elements and how people live there?
Yeah. So most people, especially the families that we work with, they will live in a home that maybe has a dirt floor, corrugated metal roof and walls. And really, even in with the families that we work with, there's kind of a range, I guess, of poverty. And so you'll have some families that will maybe have, you know, like a stable house structure, you know, cement walls and floors. And then, you know, the other side of that, you'll have families, like I said, that have dirt floors, no running water, you know, electricity, maybe only certain hours of the day, or maybe no electricity at all. And to kind of give you like a picture of just like what the income and all that is that in Guatemala, the minimum wage is about $280, almost $300.
A month.
However, yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay, got it. So that okay. So that's what they that's minimum $280 a month.
Right. That's minimum wage. However, a sustainable wage is about $350 a month. So, you know, minimum wage doesn't really even meet what a sustainable wage is for, you know, a family of four, just to be able, and we're talking like no luxuries or anything, just to be able to, you know, really feed your family and put a roof over their heads. And then our families, you know, who we work with, they don't even make minimum wage. There's, I think it's about 70% of Guatemala is actually part of the informal workforce. So meaning they don't have, you know, a salary paying stable job. They're day laborers. They maybe are street vendors or, you know, they do domestic work. And so most of our families come from that type of work. And so they're making less than minimum wage. And, you know, having to feed, you know, multiple children too. And so that is, I mean, that's really the situation that most of our families are living in.
Yeah,
and, and you know, I mean, like you said, you've been to these houses, you've had to carry like stoves.
Yeah. And those stoves are pretty heavy.
Heavy stoves. And so, you know, doing things like that really gives you an idea of like, this is what, you know, these lives are, these families, this is what they're dealing with on a daily basis. You know, think about having to just simple things like carry your groceries up the side of a mountain or what about when it's raining and what do you do with like your toddlers and your little children? And so not even just the aspect of do they have enough food, but just that extra difficulty, you know, of life.
Right. And Hannah, you know, so what I was just there a couple of months ago, I want to say at this point. And, you know, we met with one particular family that you could tell there was like cracks in between the metal, that corrugated metal. And somebody asked a question like, what do you guys do when it rains? And like, she basically said, we just kind of huddled up, like we just waited out. And so to paint a picture for you guys, this is probably a 10 foot by 10 foot space, 10 by 12, no bigger than that. And you have a bed that takes up more than half the room and you have a family of four or five that I think sleep on that bed, you know, dirt floor. And when it rains, everything in there gets wet. And some of these homes are on these hills. And when it rains and it rains bad in Guatemala, you can't really walk up, you know? And so it's just, it's impossible for Hannah and I to really paint a picture of what it's like until you're there. And maybe what I'll do is in the show notes, we'll include some pictures and some video so that people get an idea. But, you know, my parents, you know, I come from a Cuban background. And so the first year that I went in 2019, I was the only one in my small group that spoke Spanish. So I was kind of like the translator. And we met with the first family we met with, I'll never forget. We were going to do a stove install. These people cook and the smoke like doesn't have anywhere to go and breathe. So they breathe like the toxins and all that stuff. And that's why we do these stove installs. And we do, you know, we, sometimes we have to carve out a little piece of hole in the roof and do things like that. And so we got a chance to interact with this family. And Hannah, I don't even know if you know this story, but somebody asked me to ask the family, why are you so happy? Like, that was the question they wanted me to ask. And I kind of felt it was a little awkward. Like, why would you ask? Like, why would you insinuate that they have no reason to be happy?
Right.
But, you know, these people live in poverty on dirt floors in a tiny space. This particular family was a family of six. I think there was three kids that lived with them. And yet these Guatemalans are so happy, generally speaking, right? Mm-hmm. They always have a smile on their face. They're so friendly. My wife and I have been fortunate enough to travel pretty much around the world. And I don't know that I've ever been to a place where people are so friendly and so just hospitable. And so somebody asked me to ask this lady, and she was probably in her 70s. They want me to ask you why you're so happy. Like, she just seems so, like, she had a glow about her. And I reluctantly asked a question, and she looked at me and she kind of like gave me a smirk, and she said, "How can I not be happy? Mm-hmm. I'm healthy. I have God in my heart and I have my family."
Wow.
And like, as I say that, I get chills. Like, it just floored me. And then when I relayed the message in English to the people I was with, you just started seeing tears coming down people's faces. And even now I get somewhat like emotional inside thinking about it, because it just, that's the type of thing, that's the type of experience you'll never forget, that gives you perspective.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
we live in the States here, Hannah, and I'm guilty of this. Sometimes you go to Starbucks and they give you the wrong latte and you drive off and you kind of like start mumbling under your breath and you kind of get pissed off over something so stupid.
Yeah.
You know, and yet there's people that live in Guatemala and they're happy, and yet they live in situations that most of us wouldn't want to live in.
Right.
Or none of us would want to live in, quite honestly. Right. Mm-hmm. What does anything come to mind for you? Any stories? I mean, you've been there for years, but anything you can share with people kind of along those lines that just can give people some perspective and open their eyes to like what's out there, and more importantly, why they need to do mission work to experience things like this.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I actually have a story that, this is something that just happened, you know, maybe like a month ago. So it's still very fresh in my mind. But with our psychologist, we have a psychologist on staff, and about every week we try to go on home visits. And so I assist her, you know, not because I really do anything, but just to, you know, for me too, to like just be very aware of the needs and what our families are dealing with. And you know, to give her, you know, company too. And so we go to different families' homes, kind of depending on, you know, if there's a situation going on at home, or if it's a new family of the school, or, you know, just depending on different things. And so we went to the home of a mother. She has two twin girls actually in our school, and she had just had an operation. She had a mass in her uterus, and so she basically had to have like a, you know, like a C-section. And so this was like the very next day. So she was in a lot of pain. And you know, just like everything from an operation, like can't really move around a lot. Just has to be in bed. And so we went to visit her, and, she was just telling us about kind of like things that had been going on her life. It's always, I love doing these home visits because, the families, they really, they open up, and,
they do.
And it's not just, and it's good, like for us, for me, you know, to see like what's going on and to have, like you said, perspective, but also it also gives like the families kind of like that release in a space to be able to, you know, talk freely, in a safe space, you know, in their own home. So, anyway, and she was, so this lady, she's actually dealt with lupus for the past, like 14 years, I think. And
correct me if I'm wrong, with lupus, from what I know, you can't really be exposed to the sun and you have to kind of cover yourself, and it's an autoimmune disease. Is that what it is?
I believe so.
Don't quote me on that. There's somebody listening to this who's a doctor, a nurse, and they're probably laughing at me. Right. I believe that's what it is, but either way, keep going.
Yeah, definitely a lot of restrictions, but then of course medication as well. And so she was telling us about lupus, about, you know, like I said, she's been dealing with this for 14 years. And you know, when she had her children, she had got this infection, she almost died. And, you know, so she's just like crying, telling us about how that feeling of just knowing like she's not going to be able to be with her daughters anymore. And then just the struggle of over the years of having to go to Guatemala City, you know, a dangerous place, and get her medication each month, being robbed, you know, a few times while doing that. And, you know, just like how she's just been sick and like all these things. And then how the medication costs about $200 a month. And so if you remember, I said that's almost about what most of our families make. And, you know, she has three daughters. She has a granddaughter that live with her. Thankfully, she has a very supportive husband. But, you know, she's just like telling us all this very hard stuff. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, I just can't even imagine, you know, like tears in my eyes. And I'm like, I don't, like, how do people live in impossible situations? You know what I mean? Because that's what it is to me. I'm like, that's an impossible situation. Like, thank God that we're able to do what we can do with the school and supporting them. But oh my goodness, like how difficult, you know? And so I'm basically like sitting there, like feeling like sorry for her, kind of being like, God, you know, why?
Right.
And then at the end, you know, she cries out kind of like with this like smile, like joy on her face that you could visibly see. And she says, and he has been so faithful. He has never left my side. Every single month, I'm able to get my medication. Every single month without fail. And so, you know, here I am, like, kind of being, like, angry and, like, being like, God, why? And she's like, no, he has been so faithful to me. And so, really, it does come down to faith and perspective, you know, because she could have easily, you know, taken another perspective and she could have said, this is unfair. This is unjust. Why is this happening to me? I'm a victim. But she didn't. She took another perspective, and she took a perspective of joy, of truth, of saying, you know, I'm good. Like, God has been good. And wow. I mean, that was just something that, I mean, it was very impactful. I mean, continues to be impactful. Yeah,
I can see it in your eyes, and I didn't experience that, but just hearing the stories again, it gives me chills, you know. And if that doesn't move you, I don't know what will. But I don't want to simplify it and say, do you see that the glass half full or half empty? But it really is. There's beauty, and there's love, and there's faith, and there's blessings all around us. It's just what you choose to see and what you choose to believe. And that lady has every excuse by most people's standards to be like complaining and, you know, woe is me type of thing. And she took the exact opposite approach and perspective. And, you know, she just has that faith that she's going to be taken care of. And that's incredible. As we start to kind of wind down the show here, Hannah, over the course of the next maybe 10, 15 minutes, how has COVID-19, everything going on right now? I mean, this is insane. This is crazy how this has impacted the entire world. This isn't like a US type of, this has impacted everyone. What's going on over there? How has COVID-19 and everything going on impacted Antigua, Guatemala, those people? Obviously, I'm going to ask you about Escuela Integrada and some of those kids, and I'm assuming they can't go to school.
Right.
You know, so what's going on out there?
Yeah. So the situation has been taken very, very seriously in Guatemala. I was actually in Mexico last week with my parents and my husband, and then he went back a few days early just for work. And so I was there, and people were texting me. They're like, you're not going to be able to get back into Guatemala if you don't leave like now. And I was like, what? And so like, I started, you know, like looking at the news and everything. And so Guatemala was actually shutting down their borders as of, you know, it was like Monday at midnight or something. And this was like 2 days prior. So I planned to come home, you know, not till Tuesday, but I was like, okay. So I had to get back. And so thankfully I did. I made it back in time. But yeah, so since then, I mean, this was like, what, 2 weeks ago, almost a week and a half ago, the borders, you know, have been shut down. So no one is allowed in or out. And so that really affects, it affects so much the economy, you know, a lot of tourism in Guatemala, especially now. So right now we're in, what, you know, like Lent season. And so mm-hmm. in Guatemala, that is especially in Antigua, it is a very huge touristic time. A lot of tourists come, processions, that's basically like a lot of businesses depend on okay. on this time. And so that not even being able to have, people come in, but then also the processions and everything has been completely canceled. Yeah. So all, I think similar in the States as far as like, large gatherings and all of that. But then also public transportation. Mm-hmm. And so that's huge, especially for our families, because, a lot of them use the bus to get to work. So that's been completely shut down. And as well as different, construction jobs, farming, things like that, which most of the families that we work with, that's yeah. what they do. So it has affected them in that way, as far as like a lot of them are without work right now. And then also the Ministry of Education in Guatemala shut down schools for, it was 21 days starting last Monday. So about 3 weeks, of them not being able to be in school, and I'm assuming probably more. And so that our families, they really do depend on the school greatly, for food.
Yeah.
And so that's been, they receive breakfast and lunch every day at the school. And so not being able to have access to that, along with many of them not being able to, to work. So yeah. it's definitely affected, specifically our families greatly. But yeah, and everything, like I said, it's pretty mm-hmm. shut down. There's actually a curfew right now. So from 4 p.m. to 4 a.m.
Wow. After 4 p.m. there's a curfew?
Yeah. So like no one.
That's crazy. 4 p.m.?
4 p.m. Yeah.
Wow. So is Antigua like a ghost town? Pretty much, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, it is. It's crazy.
that's eerie. So if you've never been there, Antigua is like just a beautiful, like it's hard to explain it, but it's just a beautiful mm-hmm. little city. And yeah. And there's people on mopeds and walking around mm-hmm. and you see those buses with all the colors and the lights. And yep. I can't even imagine what that town must look like just with nobody.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. So a lot of restrictions right now, and that's definitely affecting, our families. So
wow. So look, yeah. I want, if you've been listening to this show for any length of time, I greatly appreciate you. I always share that. And if you're new to the show, welcome. We have the ability as entrepreneurs, we've been given so much. And I think, Tony Robbins, I believe, was the one that said the secret to living is giving. And I believe now's the time, with everything going on, that we need to step up as leaders and we need to help others that are less fortunate. And if that's on your heart, I would love, I want Hannah to tell us about the sponsorship opportunities with the school. I think they have meal plans right now for people that are not, or if you want to get involved, right? Like we talked about, if it's not just about, look, the money can really help these people. And if that's what you can do right now, I don't care if it's $5 or if it's 500 or if it's 5,000, whatever you can do would be greatly appreciated. But if there's an opportunity for you guys to get involved and kind of roll up your sleeves as well. So I just want to plant that seed that we've been given so much, and your life can change by just genuinely wanting to help and give back. And so as a community, that's what I'm hoping, through this podcast, I'm hoping that I can spread the word and raise awareness. That's really my goal here. I didn't want to talk obviously business or anything like that, because that's all we talk about. And I think now is an opportunity for us to kind of put others in front of ourselves. So Hannah, before we get into the sponsorships and where people can go, if they want to just find out more about Graces, if they want to find out more about Escuela Integrada. So before we get there, these kids, if they don't go to school, don't they usually hit the streets to try to like put food on the table for that day at what, 8, 9, 10 years old?
Yeah, yes. Child labor is a huge issue in Guatemala, especially in Antigua. A lot of families, they actually live in other regions of Guatemala and move specifically to Antigua, in hopes to find work. And so then the children, start working as well. So you have a lot of kids that are street vendors or shine shoes or work, you know, in family businesses too for long hours. So mm-hmm. that's very, very prevalent here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have the ability to take these kids off the street and put them into schools. And if that's not what you're able to do, I mean, I sponsored a child last year and he ended up having to leave the school. So I ended up meeting somebody, a beautiful little kid that I ended up meeting and kind of playing soccer with and playing cornhole with and just had a great time on a farm in Antigua and really just, I was drawn to him. And so I ended up sponsoring him. And so a sponsorship and Hannah, you can kind of reveal some of the details, but that essentially puts a kid through school and they get two meals a day, they get an education. And so how do people, number one, what are the different, how can people contribute? Number mm-hmm. one, what does that look like? And then where do people go to find out more?
Yeah. So we have, pretty awesome in my opinion, sponsorship program. And of course, like it's been a work in progress over the years and we're still working on it. But, like you said, like with your story, with your sponsor child, I think it's really cool because sponsors are able to connect one-on-one, with children. So we have, you know, video chats throughout the year, letters. And then of course, if they come to Guatemala, they're able to meet their sponsor child and their family. And mm-hmm. so they'll have, I think it's 35 children right now that need sponsorships. And so, yeah, you can just go to our website. We are Graces, www.wearegraces.org. And there's a section that you'll find that's specifically for sponsorships. You can also go to wearegraces.org/unsponsored. And there you will see all of the kids that need sponsorships. Okay. And so that's a great way to be involved, because as we were kind of talking a little bit before we got on the call, I think that it's been my passion to create conscious supporters, right? So having supporters that are not just, I mean, we need check writers too, so I'm not trying to say that that's not needed. That definitely is needed. But then also having people really know about our organization, about what's going on, their sponsor child, their lives, and getting to be able to have that perspective. And, you know, through that, people start to engage and they want a partner and they want to really just have intimate knowledge of what's going on. And so, mm-hmm. yeah, sponsorships are a great way for that. We also have classroom sponsorships as well. So that's okay. something we're also trying to grow. Mm-hmm. And that's something, I mean, it of course can be for anyone, but typically it's like a group that will cover it because it's about $1,000 a month. So it's definitely, higher.
Yeah, more of a commitment.
Yeah.
And the sponsorships, did you mention, Hannah? So the classroom sponsorship is about what, $90 a month? I'm sorry, not the classroom, the child sponsorship.
Yeah, correct. $90 a month.
Mm-hmm. Correct. The child sponsorship's as low as $90 a month. And again, that gives a child an education and gives them two meals a day, Monday through Friday, right?
Right, correct. And then all of the other, you know, services that Escuela Integrada offers, which, you know, counseling, we have a lot of extracurricular classes, you know, Bible class, art, just everything that the school has to offer, which is quite a lot, you know, especially in comparison to what they would receive going to a public school.
You know what's really cool for me, and I'm hoping that, you know, there's a transfer of trust here. If you know me, if you've been listening to this, I want to kind of transfer the trust and faith that I have in Hannah and the Graces nonprofit and the school. It's one thing to send your money somewhere and you kind of hope that it's used appropriately mm-hmm. and it's not to like line somebody's pockets. Like we've all heard those stories. And a couple of years ago, I was just praying and I got led through Life and Air to Graces, and that's where I met Hannah. And when I got the chance to go there and actually visit the school and talk to the kids, talk to the teachers, see where the money goes, it gives you that much more faith and confidence that you know your money's going to a good place. And when you get to do these home visits and meet with these families and you see the poverty that they live in, that they can't afford sending their children to school, You're truly impacting generations for as little as $90 a month. I mean, it's just incredible. And even if you can't do $90 a month, any amount of money you can send, whether it's a meal plan or whatever, goes a long, long way out there. So yeah, Hannah, so people, you said wearegraces.org?
Correct. Wearegraces.org. And also on our Facebook page, which is also We Are Graces, we are posting a lot of other ways to be involved as well. For example, right now, just because of the coronavirus and everything that's going on and how that's impacting our families, we have a special meal support campaign that's going on to be able to provide food bags to our families. So,
okay.
You know, yeah, if you just want to do a one-time donation, that is, I mean, so appreciated and needed at this time. And so we have a few posts about that on our Facebook page as well. So.
Very cool. Very cool. And here's what I'd like to do for anybody that that sponsors a child, which is $90 a month. We'll set up a coaching call. I'll probably even schedule a private training with my team. We'll do a 90-minute Zoom training and we'll teach on something. We'll open it up for Q&A. So if you guys are in real estate and you want to connect with me or my team, so just send me proof that you sponsored a child. And I'll also send you a cool gift aside from that. And for anybody that steps up and sponsors a classroom, I haven't come up with what I'll do, but trust me, it will be worth your while if you decide to sponsor. And that's a big commitment. I understand that. So just know that it'll be worth your while. We'll set something up extremely, extremely valuable for you. And but really, I just want to encourage you guys to give however you can. And if you want to be involved in actually going to Guatemala, I pretty much plan on going every single year. You can head over to mastermission.org. It's pretty inexpensive. It's $1,800 that gets donated to Graces. That takes care of your housing, your food, and it's an incredible experience. We spend half the time masterminding, half the time out in the mission field, and it's a lot of fun too. You know, so a couple months ago, Hannah and her team set up an awesome dinner for us, and you know, we drank some wine and donated some money to charity and had some. It was a good time. It was a really good time. So Hannah, really appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for your heart, for everything that you do, and for coming on here and kind of sharing, you know, what's going on in Guatemala and how we can help.
Yeah, thank you so much. I really appreciate this space just to be able to talk about what's going on. And of course, I appreciate you and just your involvement and everything that you've done. So yeah, thank you so much. And then also, if anyone wants to reach out to me personally as well,
yes.
If they, you know, have any questions about other ways to get involved or, you know, really just anything, you can email me at hannah@wearegraces.org.
Got it. Hannah is HANNAH.
Correct. Yes.
Okay. Perfect. Perfect. Hannah@wearegraces.org. So awesome, guys. And by the way, I'll extend the same thing. Shoot me an email, alex@flipempire.com. If you guys have any questions, you want to just kind of talk more about what it's like, how you can help, I'm happy to share, you know, more stories and just kind of anything you have, any questions you have, happy to connect with you guys. And let's impact people's lives. Let's help more people. We've been given a lot, and I don't know what that saying is, but to whom much is given, much is expected, something along those lines. So we have an opportunity to help others and give, because these people are just not in the position that most of us are in. So with that said, Hannah, appreciate you. I know we will be in contact. And again, guys, just send me an email if you decide to make a donation, sponsor a child, sponsor a classroom, shoot me an email. We'll set something up really cool for you. I'll send you something in the mail. And just know that your money's going to a really, really good place. So appreciate you guys, and we will talk soon.
That's all for this episode of the Flip Empire Show. But we have you covered with even more expertise and resources on our website. Text EMPIRE to 67076 or head over to flipempire.com to join the newsletter and gain free instant access to our video module training course called 5 Ways to Scale Your Real Estate Wholesaling Business to 6 Figures in 6 Months or Less. For more interviews, strategies, and insights for the smart real estate investor, we'll catch you next time here on the Flip Empire Show.